Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 65 of the Brothers Geek.
Oh, we're so close. My name is Patrick. We're so close.
Ah,
oh,
I can taste it.
Oh.
Well, I'm Patrick Laporte, second breakfast chef in Animus IT.
Nice. And I'm Chris Laporte, Haikiba acrobat and Golden Purge patron.
You did it.
I didn't fuck it up.
The alliteration was there.
Yeah,
too.
Right. It was all about the recipe for disaster was there.
It was there. Yeah. It was there. Well, Chris, the Oscars just happened this past weekend, and they did.
Oh yeah, I watched.
And I gotta say, apparently, it's okay if you still do touch women, and you can still win and succeed in Hollywood. Because out of nowhere, Kobe Bryant won an MVP. You know what? I was
MVP.
Won MVP. He did win that, but also an Oscar. I was half expecting him to like grab the little Oscar man and, you know, walk off stage, and like his wife was over there, and just like toss it to his wife, and just be like, Kobe.
Oh my god.
And then also the thing that made me upset. Overall, I'm like fairly happy with the results.
I'm not.
They besides Best Picture, but they like spread the love. I felt like there wasn't one movie that really like dominated. I think Shape of Water won 4, and that was the most, but that's not like dominating.
That's true. It's not like Return of the King. Return of the fucking King. Like
exactly. And one of those was for like production's design or whatever. Like who cares?
Yeah.
I was really glad that Jordan Peele won for Get Out and original screenplay. I was very happy about that. And then Three Billboards, she won for, well, they both won. Sam Rockwell won for supporting actor, and Frances, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, yeah, won actress. And I was like, okay, they're really spreading the love with things. Shape of Water's got stuff. Dunkirk won some stuff. Call Me By Your Name won adapted screenplay. You know, Three Billboards won stuff. Hell, even Darkest Hour won something. A couple of things, actually. Post didn't win anything, but I never saw it, so I don't know. So I'm like, alright, well, they gotta give something to Lady Bird. And after all of this women's empowerment in Hollywood, she didn't win Best Director, so which I thought she was gonna win. So it's gotta be Best Picture, right? That'd be out of the blue, but I wouldn't expect it. But hey, I mean, not just because, oh, they have to give something to the woman, but like, it legitimately would deserve it as well. Even though it wasn't getting the sort of, oh, birds.
Oh, the parrots.
Ladybirds.
The parrots. The ladybirds.
The ladybirds.
They're pissed too.
Yeah, they're real pissed out there. But it would have deserved it, I think. It didn't get the sort of push behind it like The Shape of Water did. But I was like, well, they're really spreading the love as it is anyway. And so, yeah, I could totally see it winning. And then they announced Shape of Water, and I was like, well, stupid. That was the one I didn't want to win the most.
Well, I think I really thought that Greta would win for Best Director as well, especially because of you and Andrew's comments talking about Shape of Water. Like, you didn't, there wasn't this kind of Del Toro feel in it. So I really thought, like, you know, you got the Golden Globe, I think, for it, and it was going to be one of those things like, okay, like, I think she'll get it, and then I'm sure Shape of Water is going to win Best Picture. But then he won both, which is fine. I mean, I love Del. This is not to say I don't like Del Toro, because I love him. And he's adorable up there.
He is. He's like a big teddy bear.
But Man, it was a bummer because I really, really liked Lady Bird a lot. And it just made me want to watch it again that much more. But yeah. I really want to watch Phantom Thread after, like, the 2-second clip from, like, the supporting actress, like,
oh, yeah.
Noms, where she just, like, annihilates him in this clip. Yeah. And I was just like, I have to watch this movie.
Yeah, I want to watch it too.
But let's face.
And she also got gypped for the mom got gypped for supporting actress as well. I thought she was definitely going to win, but
yeah, like, oh man, oh well.
It was. Crazy. I mean, I hear she, you know, but what's her name is like really good.
Yeah,
Antonia.
Yeah, the thing is, I think there was just a lot of good movies this year. And, like, Lady Bird, any of these movies, really, on another year would have pulled more. And it is indicative?
I don't know.
No, I don't
indicative.
Know. I'm a writer.
I do words good.
It's an indicator that there was a lot of good movies since it was so, you know, kind of spread out. So, yeah. But, Patrick... It wasn't about the movies. It really wasn't. It was about one thing all night. And that was Oscar Isaac speaking in Spanish. And my heart melted a little.
Yeah, he did. Do you think BB-8 was speaking in Spanish, in robot Spanish?
100%.
¿Cómo estás?
Another disappointment for Sufjan fans. No wings. Where the fucker is wings or balloons or something?
Yeah, man. Right?
And
of course, Mark Hamill would be the first to volunteer to go to the movie theater across the street.
100%.
He was like, jumped up at the opportunity to do something crazy.
He had one of the funniest lines of the night, too. Because when he was opening that envelope, he was like, don't say Lady Bird. Or, I mean, don't say La La Land. Don't say La La Land.
Don't say La La Land. That's great.
And that was before
he's like robot discrimination.
That was before they like just totally killed that joke by the end of the night. But
oh yeah,
like, yes, you said La La Land last year. We all remember. Jesus Christ,
we'll never forget. The North remembers.
The North remembers. But
North Hollywood remembers.
All I want to do now is like go to the theaters with Mark Hamill and Gal Gadot and like Emily Blunt. Like, can I just Del Toro?
Imagine being at that theater. God,
the best crew to roll up with ever.
The best, Jerry. The best. Oh, I almost made you spit out what you're drinking over there. What you drinking over there, buddy?
Finally drinking a beer. It's nothing special. It's just some Founders Porter. Always a classic.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, that reminds me. I gotta get the last of my bombers from... Tomorrow's a big day for me, Patrick.
Oh,
because
is it?
It's the last... I'm turning my keys to my old place, finally. Ooh. No more spiders. The transition will be complete to the new place. But the bombers are still in the fridge, and I need to get them. And,
nice.
Maybe I'll finally bust out the fundamental observation I've had in there for...
Gotta be Mr. Fundamental, Chris.
I bet. I should have
Speaking of fundamentals,
yeah.
Guinness Extra Stout over here for me.
Nice. We have two very nice beers.
Yes.
Very fine beers.
It is nice. It is nice. You know what else is nice?
What?
Discounts on t-shirts.
I'm glad you're doing this before the news, because we always do this after the news, and you have to always come into a segue from the same thing from the last like four weeks. I'm glad this is happening.
I'm switching it up.
Yeah.
I'm switching it up this week. But yeah, we are now affiliated with Ripped Apparel. That's RIPT Apparel.
You make it sound like we're folding t-shirts in the back of the room. Like,
yeah. If you haven't already liked their page on, you know, the Facebook or Instagram or something, or checked their website out, I say, hey, I saw Kelby liked their page on Facebook the other day. Maybe he'll get himself a shirt.
Nice.
I know they have a lot of Rick and Morty shirts, and I know he loves that shit. So, but if you go onto their website, find a shirt that you like, remember Ripped Apparel does something cool where every day they have new designs up for sale. And so every day you can check back in and find something new. And if you find something new that you like, You can go ahead and use the discount code BROTHERSGEEK at checkout, and you will get 10% off, and it helps us out a little bit as well. So make sure you do that and get yourself a cool shirt.
Nice.
That nobody else will have, because they're very unique.
They are very unique. I'm sitting nice with my Darkwing Duck t-shirt.
That's right.
And you can use our link in the description below. That also helps us out. Well. So be a pal. We appreciate
be
it.
Be a pal. Be a pal. You know who's a really good pal? Your Palico in Monster Hunter World.
Oh my god.
Is a great pal. He's saved my little cat lap has saved my life many a time.
I fucking forgot you called him that.
Hell yeah, I did. Pat lap against the world. The Monster Hunter world.
I still
world.
Say you should have called him Furiosa.
Well, when you eventually get the game, you can call your own cat that. But you won't, because you're going to get Kingdom Come Deliverance. Or already have. Who knows?
I haven't, because I'm fucking poor. But whatever.
Oh, nice. But
nice.
Monster Hunter World has just sold 7.5 million units worldwide. And this, it's only been, I guess maybe like less than a month, I think, still, that the game has come out. And it's Capcom's now best-selling game in Capcom's history, which is saying a lot, because Capcom, you know, been around for a while. And that's including digital downloads, but that's only including PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions, because PC version hasn't been released yet. That's coming out this fall. And so with that coming out for PC, that number will only increase.
Yeah.
And because it's coming out in the fall, it'll make people remember that it was a game that happened, and it'll definitely be in talks for Game of the Year, I'm sure.
Is that is that why, like, PC and console, tell this video game, like, noob in terms of the industry. Is that why they do them, like, such at separate dates, so it's just, like, everyone's talking about them all the time?
Well, I'm sure that has something to do with it, but you can't just straight up port a game that you made for console to PC.
Well, why not just have that ready to go on release?
Because it actually, like, to do it right, like, it takes a while.
You have time.
I'm not saying they didn't have time, but I'm just saying you could release them at the same time and not work very hard on them to make sure that you got all the bugs out on the console version, so that way you already know what those are going into the PC version, because gotcha. You don't want another Arkham Knight on our hands where the PC port of the game was like super buggy as hell and crashed your computer and made it explode and shit.
Oh, nice.
So
it's part all, I mean, they it's fixed one of the it. Riddler puzzles. It explodes your computer if you don't solve it.
Oh shit. This game is so immersive. you don't want that on your hands again. But I know I just read in my Game Informer magazine they gave Monster Hunter World like 9.75 out of 10. It's pretty high. But no, I'm loving the shit out of it. I have like 70 plus hours in that game.
Dear Lord.
So, it's pretty good. I have a lot of fun with it. I just like running around and just like with the giant sword and chopping monsters' heads off. Not literally. You could chop a monster's tail off.
That's nice.
But that's cool. And now they just came out, if you get it on PS4, they have a lot of things with Horizon Zero Dawn. So they had an event where you could get Watcher armor for your Palico, and now they're having an event where you can get armor that makes you look like Aloy, the main character of the game.
Oh, nice.
And it's actually really good armor, too, so that's what I'm rocking right now.
Sick.
And it's weird to see Aloy with this huge sword on her back. Rather than a bow. I mean, you can get Aloy's bow as well, but I don't use bows, so.
Mm.
But yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. So, Monster Hunter is pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, with the amount of time you put into Monster Hunter, that makes you pretty geeky, Patrick.
It does.
I would even say it makes you a super geek, super geek.
Super geeky.
Are we still running with that as our segment
title? Yeah. Of course we are.
Good. Because I'm just diving in.
I thought you were going to say something along the lines of, that would make you pretty powerful in the game. Because I know what you're talking about.
Right? Yes.
Because you told me.
Because we informed each other of our decision making.
We did.
Well, about a month ago, we've had a few episodes in between. We're going to try to do it at the end of every month, and then just kind of got pushed to March, and we're like, whatever, we're fucking doing it anyway. Because I think we had a lot of fun last time. But we're going to try about once a month to dive into some deep lore of some geeky fiction.
Deep loring.
Was the other potential interrupting title that we could have done. But we want to dive in super deep to some lore and inform you, other geeks who may enjoy this already and or need to be informed about something very specific in that lore. So
that's right. And this is all real lore. None of that fake lore. Hashtag fake lore.
Hashtag fake lore. That's fucking fake lore. They try to pull that shit all the time.
Freaking well, CNN network. That's Chronicles of Narnia network.
All their fake lore.
All their fake lore.
Well, speaking of Chronicles of Narnia, let's talk about the friends of the people.
Speaking of Chronicles of Narnia, let's talk about the dude that didn't write that book, but he was friends with the dude that did.
Well, both Patrick and I, Patrick talked about Palpatine, so, Patrick's so deep in the lore of Palpatine, his impression is spot on.
Yeah, the rebel scum. Rebels, a bunch of dicks.
I was that a clip from the movie? I don't know.
Yeah, it was a deleted scene.
Yeah. But I am automatically an expert on all things Lord of the Rings, and I don't like to admit just how much I didn't have to research.
What are you talking about? You love to admit it. Don't That's even
true.
Lie.
That's true.
You know you're very proud. You wish Dad and Bourne were listening right now so you could come up to you and be like, son, I'm very proud of you, and pat you on the back.
That's exactly what the Dad and Bourne sounds like.
Son.
I'm Sean Connery all of a sudden.
The hunt for Red October.
Oh, man. Well, Lord of the Rings, Patrick.
Yes, Lord of the Rings.
You know what the interesting
to both of our hearts.
Yes, you know what the interesting thing about Lord of the Rings is. You see, it's right in the title.
It was meant to be one huge book, but meant to be one Tolkien's huge publishers book. Were like, no.
Much
That's
like
insanity.
Much like producers were like, fuck it, let's make three movies out of The Hobbit.
This is the opposite. Well,
kind of
no,
differently.
Yeah.
But you see, it's right in the title there, Patrick. It's Lord of the Rings. It's more than just the one ring. But you don't know too much about the other rings, do you?
No, we know Galadriel has one.
Ah, don't
watch
ruin
the extended edition.
Don't fucking ruin my shit.
Sorry.
You're right. You're right. Galadriel does edition. Have one of the, 19 rings of power that were made. 19, Patrick, not just one.
19.
20, if you
19.
Include
19.
If you include the one. But, so yeah, Galadriel has one in the extended edition of the movie. You could see it briefly.
She talks about it.
She talks about it for, 2 seconds. And I think in the extended edition, it explains, why she goes, Super Saiyan for 2 seconds, too. because that is why. It's her ring. But there's, 19. So, let's dive in, Patrick. Let's dive in.
Are you going to talk about all 19 today?
We're going to talk about all 19 and exactly what happened to each and every one of them. I'm just kidding.
As far as we know? I was like, no. There's no way he wrote about all 19. Right?
Basically, I'm going to do general for the 9 that were given to men and the 7 that were given to dwarves. And then I'll be specific about the 3 because you might not know it, but there's characters that are basically on screen the whole time that have them. So,
nice.
So, back in the day, long before... the movies start and are set in, and for Hobbits.
Wait, no, Chris. Before you get working on this, in post, can you put a crackling campfire?
Yeah,
in
for
the
sure.
Background? All right, nice. I just want to get in the mood.
Yeah. Eons ago. Yeah, before hobbits, like, even moved to the Shire, because apparently they were somewhere else. But whatever, that's a different lore episode. there,
I'm sure Chris will do a lore episode on hobbits, yeah, specifically.
Yeah, 100%. there were the elves living, a lot of them living actually outside the gates of Moria, which is why, like, the gates of Moria light up and stuff, and you have to speak friend and ender, and why it's an elvish word is because there's elves living on the other side of that door, and they were buds once. So this is about that time that they were all buddies.
Okay.
And now Sauron was around, but he wasn't calling himself Sauron because he was disguised as a very fair looking elf enough to, like, fool the elves. So just imagine, let's just picture Sauron for a second as this fair elf. He would probably look a lot like Oscar Isaac in a tux, I'm assuming, with long ears. Mm. Yeah, just get that in your... And he speaks Elvish and woos all the elves, men and women. And so he's basically kind of seen as a friend. Some distrust him, but for the most part, people are like, oh, this guy's cool, I guess. He's kind of showing us some super magical shit. And he helps another elf, a super great crafter named Celebrimbor, who's in...
Celebrimbor!
Who is in the Shadow of Mordor series, and he's kind of...
Also another great series.
He's kind of a pissed-off dude in that series, which I guess would make
he's
sense.
Very pissed off. He's very pissed off.
But, you see, he actually is the one that makes... The elves make these 19 rings of power.
Yes.
It's not Sauron that makes them. He shows them how to make them and has a hand in helping with almost all of them, except for the three that are given to the elves. So by the time that these nine rings are made and then another seven are made that Sauron helps out with, Celebrimbor is like, I don't like this dude. I don't know if he, like, didn't bring him coffee one morning or some shit, but he's like, you know what?
Hey, intern.
My guess.
I asked for a tall blonde.
I no said whip. Soy, you son of a bitch.
I said three pumps. Three pumps. I can taste that there's only two.
But you see, you know what it probably was? If Sauron did really look like Oscar Isaac in a tux, he probably accidentally wooed Celebrimbor's wife. I mean, and maybe Celebrimbor himself. Understandable.
Yeah, it's true.
So he's probably he's pissed off at this point. So he's so good at this point, and he knows, like, how Sauron does this. He doesn't need him. So he makes these three elven rings separate from Sauron.
Now, did he only make three because he was on, like, a time crunch, or because he was by himself?
Oh, shit, I only have so much mithril. Ah, fuck it.
I gotta ask my dwarven buds for some. They got plenty, but...
Speak friend and enter. Yeah. What the hell's that shit?
He just goes up to the door. Friend! It's not working.
Fuck you. And so they hate... Dwarves and elves hated each other.
And then he goes, amigo. I learned that one from Oscar.
Exactly. But then... The plan was for Sauron, for all these rings, to actually give them all to the elves. Because he didn't give a shit about, like, ruling the other races. If he ruled the elves, he wins. Like,
yeah,
especially
true.
At this time, the elves are... There's a lot of, like, super powerful elven kingdoms, and they're pretty much running the show. And
they're all still in Middle-earth. They haven't gone sailed...
Yeah.
Come sail away!
It's a good
Come
amount.
Come sail away!
Yeah, and, like, Galadriel's a couple thousand years younger and all that stuff. Well, he goes back to his land of Mordor, which I guess he secretly has totally fucking ruined. Like, I'm guessing it was some really nice green pastures out there beyond the mountains. You know, super fertile. You got a volcano that's, like, just fertilizing the whole land, you know. But
It's a fertile volcano.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a volcano.
It's good soil, Patrick. It's good soil. It ruins sections at a time, but it's good soil.
I don't know. Did you hear my joke? I don't know.
I don't think I did. What was it?
It said it's a volcano. Yes.
Oh my god. Fuck you. But he goes back to Mount Doom, and he makes the One Ring. The One Ring. And he puts it on and uses his power to control.
With his own malice.
Yeah. His will to dominate all life. Including rabbits. Specifically rabbits.
He's a power bottom.
Exactly. And so he puts it on. And the elves, thanks to like a few of them having these rings that weren't corrupted by Sauron, realize like, oh shit, you know, this ain't good.
Out there.
Instantly realize like there's a corrupting power in all of these rings. So they take all of the rings off that Sauron helped to make. And then Sauron's like, guys, come on.
I'm your BFF Sauron. You know, I helped you move those boxes into your new apartment the other day. You know me, it's Sauron. Dan, when you needed a buck to catch the city bus, who spotted you? This is me, your bud Sauron. Come on, guys.
Exactly. Sharon the elf. My god. But
it's spelled with the like the O with like the dots over.
Yeah, it's got like the two dots, and then like the N has the three dots on there. Yeah, but there's this basically whole war that happens because Sauron's like, well, fuck, I gotta get those rings back. And the elves are able to hide their three super powerful ones because Sauron can't like sense them because hasn't corrupted them, and he's able to gather all of the other ones. And he's like, well, plan B, I guess. I'm going to give 9 of them to men because they fucking suck. And they're gonna corrupt super easy.
I got this, guys. And,
which they immediately do.
And then, like, they pick them up, like, are these cock rings? And they, like, just put them on. And then they're instantly corrupted. Instantly corrupted. It doesn't even, no time at all. And Sauron just goes, whoa, that was fast.
Sauron, you made these rings too big. But yeah, so the 9 men, of course, then turn into Ringwraiths eventually. But they do rule their whatever kingdoms for a while. One was a Numenorean, probably the Witch King. So the Numenorians are like Aragorn's race. They live like an extra long time, and they're kind of magical humans, kind of like super good, you know, humans.
Yeah, aren't they like the first men or something like that? Or
yeah, exactly. So one is like a Numenorean, and he's, you know, so that's no good. He probably had a lot of influence. Mm-hmm. But yeah, eventually all of them get corrupted. Then 7 are given the dwarves, which they're fairly like good people just generally. And the rings don't really affect them in terms of corrupting them. To Sauron's like, well, fuck, like
side, this worked
not again. Like, it does make the dwarves greedier and more like self-centered. So that's when they start having problems with the elves. So I guess it does like break some alliances and stuff. And they dive so deep that they awaken a Balrog in Moria. Because they just like, oh, we got to get the Mithril out of there.
We got to keep digging.
And the Balrogs, there's another lore episode. We could just do like Lord of the Rings lore until the end of the fucking year.
Oh, yeah.
I have my iPad, my lap. I haven't looked at it once.
we could switch back and forth between Lord of the Rings and Star Wars lore.
Pretty much.
And just be set for like 6 years.
So, some of the dwarves then start fighting with each other, but they don't really get corrupted. They don't turn into Ringwraiths. And some of those dwarven rings are lost, just like, down in the cracks of the earth, I guess.
In so, the Balrog's crack?
Yeah, maybe.
So he lost maybe the he crack thought it was a cock ring.
Yes. My fiery dick awaits.
Oh, Jesus.
That's look, for new listeners of the show, it's a running joke that we talk about penises at least once at least every once. Episode.
We don't need to explain ourselves.
No, that's all they're getting.
Yeah, but some are actually, the dwarves, some are thought to have been eaten by dragons, and then the rings are destroyed by dragonfire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because though at least that level of ring powerness, they could be destroyed by dragonfire, which I think in the Council of Elrond they talk about destroying the One Ring with dragonfire, but they actually, you know, they kind of killed the only one they knew about. So, whoops.
Well, and then they go, well, that wasn't actually a dragon; it was a worm, and that's different.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
was a wyvern.
Let's give it to They're Tom different. Bombadil. No, fuck that guy. I hate Tom Bombadil.
Dude, if Tom Bombadil had the One Ring, holy shit.
He did. He put it on, and he was like, eh, it doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, that's right. Didn't do anything.
Put it on his dick and everything. Nothing happened.
He's like, oh, man, it's kind of making me itchy. That's about it.
So his plan kind of backfires there. But he's got the men, at least, corrupted, and his servants. And it causes enough strife that, you know, they do the whole war thing with the battle. The whole war thing happens with the last battle, the last alliance of men and elves and all that stuff. And it leads to, you know, Sauron, his, like, kind of physical form getting destroyed. But he's so tied to the ring, you know, the giant eyeball sticks around, I guess. And after that, the Ringwraiths are still around, and they actually cause a lot of fucking damage after that point, and actually destroy the kingdom of Men, Arnor, and Gondor, which were two different kingdoms. Arnor in the north gets totally fucked up by the Witch King, which then one of the elves that helps the Men actually says, no man is going to kill the Witch King, which leads all the way down the road to Return of the King, where a woman kills the Witch King, and a hobbit helps. So, yeah, that whole thing happens. But
Lady Bird still didn't win an Oscar.
Lady Bird still didn't. God damn it. The three rings of the elves, though, are made separately. And they have an interesting history because there's actually a couple, like, characters that we know and love that are using them and that would have them in the movies, and it's never mentioned.
I know of one.
Yeah, Galadriel.
No, another one.
Why do you sound like the Adventure Zone voice?
Welcome to the Adventure Zone. Do 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 do.
Oh man, but you see, when Sauron was a big problem, I guess the elves that were already in the West were like, "Well, we should probably send some help or something." So they send over five Maiar, I think is what they're called. And they are these super powerful kind of spirits. And an elf that died went to the West and then was like, I'm going to go help again. Comes back with them. Glorfindel, the most badass elf that's not mentioned in the movies.
Oh, yeah. Super badass. He has red eyes when he gets pissed.
They all come over back to Middle Earth. And those five Maiar actually end up being the wizards. So one of them is Gandalf, and there is an elf that they meet on the other side, on Middle Earth side, that makes these ships that can go to the West. And he's actually one of the people that have one of the elven rings. So when they get over to Middle Earth, Gandalf's the only, like, spirit that is really humble about himself. He doesn't even think he should be there. Like, he's very just humble. Whereas, like, Sauron's, like, already a prick.
Yeah.
And so...
But still good at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's still good. Still a exactly. good guy. So,
I actually don't remember this elf's name. It's like something the shipwright. God damn it. I'm going to have to look at my notes for once.
Oh my god.
Here we go.
Chester the Cheetah.
Sir Dan!
Oh, dude, Dogan?
That motherfucking Dogan.
Motherfucking Dogan, man.
Oh, that's
everywhere.
There's a reference.
That's a callback.
Literally no one gets badass.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine.
Look it up.
Dogan. Yeah, Sir Dan is an elf that they call the shipwright because he makes these super kick-ass ships that just launch into the, like, into space, basically, because...
Oh, shit.
They don't follow the curve of the Earth. That's how you get to the West and, like, the Undying Lands, is you don't follow the curve of the Earth. You keep going. So,
The world is flat.
Exactly. Well, it should be, according to, like, Tolkien lore. But it's made round, so no one can get to the Undying Lands except for this dude that makes the ships that get there.
And then they find Bowie?
Yeah. And they...
Do you think that's where Bowie is?
Yeah, absolutely. Bowie's in the Undying Lands?
Undying Lands in the West.
So Sir Dan, whatever, however you pronounce him, gives one of the elven rings to Gandalf. So the whole fucking time, during the movies, during the Lord of the Rings books, Gandalf actually has one of the rings of power the whole time.
That's why he's, like, so good with, like, fire and stuff, right?
It enhances his... He's already, like, a studies fire and all that stuff, but it enhances his, like, fire magic, which is used a hell of a lot more in The Hobbit.
Yeah, it is. Present a whole forest, basically.
And what is that one called? Each of the rings have a name. I'm not going to pretend that I can pronounce them.
Okay, you should definitely try, though.
I should, though, I guess. So the one given to Gandalf is like a red ring. It's got like a garnet ruby kind of thing in the middle. Narya.
Okay.
Narya. And
That's my favorite of the direwolves.
Mm-hmm.
Is Narya.
Then, of course, the one we know about from the movie, the extended edition, is Nenya, which is a ring of adamant, the white ring. And that's the one Galadriel
has.
They
have a couple of one-hit wonders that I enjoy. Nenya, yeah.
God damn it. She has that. She uses her ring mostly to keep Lothlorien, like, timeless. So that's
and
what...
Like, safe and hidden,
yeah,
right?
it keeps Lothlorien kind of safe and timeless and magical and all this shit, and she can apparently do stuff with it because she does go, like I said, she goes like supersonic on
supersonic, man. She gets the
she
chaos
got, she got
emeralds.
All the chaos emeralds in that ring, and she can just
nice. Is the ring what makes her be able to like see into like the future and the past and stuff, or is that just her innate power?
It's probably old. It's probably an enhancement. Because she's a super powerful elf.
Because she can even, like, communicate with people, because she communicates with Frodo.
Yeah. I mean, it would be an enhancement, for sure.
Okay.
The rings aren't, like, god mode, you know, for the most part. They take what you're already good at and, like, make them better. Which, if Gandalf were to take the One Ring, he'd just basically be another Sauron, because Sauron's a Maiar, too. He's, like, the same kind of spirit that Gandalf is.
Right.
So, in that deep Tolkien lore.
Some people just want to see the world burn, Mr. Burn.
That's what Gandalf says.
Some people just want to see the world burn, Mr. Burn.
Now, the other ring.
I know. Can I say it?
Well, he wasn't the original owner.
Okay.
Because Gil-galad was the original older owner.
Yeah,
he
also
had two of
badass
them. He originally gave Sir Dan the ring. So he had two at one point, that dick.
He's like LeBron James.
He was, like, the shit of shit when it comes to elves, though. Like,
he killed
had
a Balrog,
No, it was Glorfindel. That's how Glorfindel died and went to the west and then came back. He's like, I'll kill another one. Why not?
Fuck it. I'm badass. Look at me go. I'll just walk across the water to the... I don't give a shit.
But yeah, Gil-galad fights in the Battle of the Last Alliance.
Okay.
And Elrond is his herald. So Gil-galad has this, like, sick spear that's... like tip of it, the spear part of it is, I don't know if it's mithril or what it is, but it's very indestructible and like kicks ass enough that he goes toe to toe with Sauron for like days the final part of this battle and just burns, because anyone near Sauron just starts burning, so he's like on fire.
He like burns to death.
Yeah, so he eventually succumbs to burning to death, and the only thing left is basically his spear point. And but like as he's dying, he gives the ring to
Elrond.
to Elrond. So Elrond the whole time has a ring as well. And that one's called something similar. Oh yeah, Vilya. Which is Vilya. A blue ring. So and he uses that the same way Galadriel does, and that's to keep like Rivendell kind of hidden in secret, and he can kind of communicate
to do sick shit with rivers.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Because it was Elrond in the book that causes that river to.
And Gandalf puts the horses in.
Yeah, it was a little flare.
Yeah.
So, so the whole time these characters have these rings of power, which does beg the question why they didn't do more with it, but what are you going to do?
Because they're like, that's typical elves, you know? They don't want to get involved in shit, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
And, I mean, it's, again, like, Rings of Power represent, originally, Sauron's, this is his idea, so he wants you to succumb to, like, wanting power. So them wanting to use the rings to protect is probably the only way to kind of fight off, you know, any kind of corruption, because it is heavily implied in some appendix of the book that if Sauron was to get the ring again, he would find a way to corrupt even those three rings, and then everything would be fucked. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Now, doesn't... So, I remember in the extended editions, there's this whole part with Grima and Saruman where Grima's like, oh, this dude had this ring, and he's talking about Aragorn's ring.
Yeah.
What's that ring?
So that ring...
Is that a ring of power, or no?
It's not, but it is a very important ring, because it designates the heir of Gondor. So that's passed down through every king of Gondor, and it eventually, of course, gets to Aragorn. So, and thank you for mentioning that, because Sauron is an expert on the rings. So it's not really talked about. Again, in the extended edition of the movies a little bit, he like opens his book of rings, whatever he's got.
The book of five rings. Yeah. He opens it up. And he's like, this is about samurai. And he tosses that out, and then he opens up the real book. I have that book, by the way. I want to read it. But
and then he opens up another book, and he's like, this is the heart ring, and no one fucking wants that Captain Planet.
Yeah.
But yeah, Saruman's an expert on the rings and stuff, which is why he gets obsessed with the One Ring and wants it for himself, ultimately. But yeah, Aragorn's ring is just to designate that he's the heir. So, which he wants to be the king in the books, like, right away.
Yeah. In the books, he makes that sword right away. He doesn't waste no time.
Before
that, he's just walking around with the hilt, right? And that's all he has.
He takes out the hilt, like, to Sam, who's, like, standing up for Frodo. Because a similar scene happens in the book where Frodo, like, gets taken by Aragorn. And Sam's like, what the fuck is going on? And he, like, draws this, like, hilt. And everyone's like, okay.
Or it's, like, one of those things where he, like, just, like, pulls it up enough so you can see that it's a sword, but then, like, if you kept pulling it out, it would just be, like, broken. And
like, oh, shit, this guy's legit right here. And like,
he's got a sword.
Roll for intimidation.
Intimidation checks. +2.
Yeah.
Because you caught him by surprise.
But yeah, he reforges the sword when the Fellowship's in Rivendell the first time before they even leave. And then he has it the whole time.
Yeah, he has that shit the whole time, and it's sweet.
Yeah. And then he was planning on leaving. He was going to let Gandalf take everybody else except him and Boromir through Mordor. He's like, Gandalf's got this shit. I'm going to go to Gondor and, like, help them fight against, like, all these people that are dying against Mordor attacking them. And
yeah.
Then Gandalf falls, and Aragorn's like, well, fuck, I guess
and
I gotta go.
Pippin and Merry get captured, and
yeah.
Later on. And
like, Frodo wanted to go alone. Whew, freebie.
Woo! Got away with one.
Yeah.
So that's any other like cool rings, or is that like those are basically the only rings?
There is like Gandalf in the movie mentions like there's many like magical rings, Bilbo, and none of them should be taken lightly. Uh-huh. So I guess there's a lot of the one thing I did look up was that, and it says like they were probably the practice rings kind of thing that weren't like really corrupted, but probably did tricks and stuff.
Yeah, one of them's got, like, air bubbles in it and stuff. And yeah. It's like, eh.
Gandalf made, like, a couple of his own jewelry items, magical jewelry.
I was gonna say, Gandalf definitely makes his own rings. Smoke rings.
Hell yeah. Blaze that old Toby, though.
Blaze! Fucking Longbottom Leaf, motherfucker! Yeah!
But yeah, so Gandalf makes, like, earrings that clasp on their own or some shit in The Hobbit.
Oh, no, yeah, no, isn't it like, yeah, it's like, what do you call it? Like, cufflinks or
whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Bilbo has some.
Yeah. He does, he makes some. Yeah. Something. Random thing that he, why would he make the time, whatever.
Because he's fucking bored, I don't know.
I've been here so long.
God.
Those are the rings, Patrick. Those are all the rings that Lord of the Rings is referencing.
Nice. And do they all... They don't... So, why does the one ring make you invisible when the other ones don't? Is that just...
It depends on the kind of power and magic you already have. So, the one ring is like a hyper version of all the other rings that would give you extra power. And if you're just a hobbit that doesn't really have any magicalness... It kind of just turns you invisible.
Like, but a Sealdor,
yeah,
turns invisible.
He was turned because again, it's just a human, and there's other things going on. He probably had more sway and power as a ruler, but you know we don't get to see that kind of stuff. But if Gandalf, like Gandalf says, like it would wield a power through me like too terrible to even imagine because
I would use it for good. Yes.
So, it really would heighten what Gandalf can already do.
Yeah. Apparently that ring is heavy as shit, because it just clunks to the ground.
Which,
little behind-the-scenes movie magic, Chris. You know what they did? They put a magnet in the floor, so that when the ring gets dropped, it just sticks.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well, you know.
I always freak out, because when Bilbo, like, turns his hand... to like drop the ring, that ring sticks to his hand for a long time. Watch that scene again, and it's just like, when is it gonna fall? It's just he's like over vertical, and he's just like, get the fuck off of me.
He's got he was ready to go out and play some flag football, and he already put like the sticky hands on.
Got some stick 'em on there.
Yeah, and he forgot about it, and so it takes a little bit.
That Hobbit flag football.
Yeah, man. They're swift little bastards. they got moves. They'll break your ankles.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for
the
information. That's cool. Man, now I just want to read Lord of the Rings again.
Right? If you have some more Lord of the Rings fun facts, especially about the rings, let us know. Because, hey, you're experts too, you geeks.
You geeks, you freaking nerds, man! If I saw you right now, physically, and you had a bunch of books in your hand, I would knock them out of your hand, and then I'd be like, "Oh, sorry," and I'll help you pick them up.
You're a geek too. How would you do that to your own kind?
my own. What do you mean, you people?
Now, if you do want to contact us, be sure to check out theportport.com. That's the PORTE.com. That link's, of course, in the description, and all of our social media as well. You can email us that way. And say hi and tell us about your Lord of the Rings knowledge. Or you can also send us, of course, your Weapon of the Week, which we need to get into right now.
Right now. Now, Weapon of the Week.
Patrick, there, you sing the song first.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry. When you're surrounded by zombies and your future looks bleak, it's time to pull out your Weapon of the Week.
Ugh. It's getting more and more seductive with that every time.
After dark. Now, Weapon of the Week, Chris, if you don't know, you don't know what Weapon of the Week, you don't listen to the show, so you'll need a little fill-in.
Yeah, I do, man.
Weapon of the Week is whatever weapon you saw used in a movie, book, television, video game, dreams have been used, podcasts have been used, whatever it might be, real life, perhaps, which hopefully it's not being used on you.
That's true.
Or any of your loved ones. But maybe, you know, you're just sitting in class and you see that your teacher has a handgun. You're like, oh, that's my Weapon of the Week this week. that's your weapon to survive a zombie apocalypse that listener Luke has set upon us because of his Warcraft nonsense. So, you know, what is it and how long do you survive? Now, this week, Chris, I have a weapon that could perhaps be useful, but probably not.
That's every week, man.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I, she's a fan of the Assassin's Creed series. Mm-hmm. So Origins was on sale, and I traded in some games and got it used. And so I basically got it for free, and I was like, oh, like, let's play through this together. Because, you know, I wanted my own Breath of the Wild, Chris.
Oh, nice.
And so we were playing that a little bit last night. Well, I was playing it. She was watching me play last night. And so my weapon would be the ability to see through the eyes of an eagle as it flies overhead. And this eagle, it's got some moves because it can hover, which, you know, birds can't really do that. But, you know, this eagle can.
I mean, I've seen hawks and shit just kind of hang in the air if they catch the draft right, you know?
You could do it forever, though.
Oh, wow.
You could just hover there and mark. So what it does is I can mark all the zombies that are around me, so at least I know where they are, and the eagle can also, like, swoop in and, like, claw at people's faces and stuff. So, you know.
That's risky, because if that eagle gets bit, zombie
it's true.
Eagle.
It's true, but at least, you know, maybe I could, like, it could swoop in, scratch a face real fast, and maybe draw the attention away, and I'd be able to see where all the zombies are going, and then go the other way. It's more of a distraction and knowledge tool,
yeah.
Rather
it's
than,
good.
Like, a weapon, but it can be used to attack people, so I'm counting it as a weapon.
That would be really nice to know where all the zombies are. I mean, that's everything.
It is.
And I'm thinking of the sound that it makes is the Lord of the Rings Online, like, hawks. They're like, like, they're really annoying. Like,
<You're> like, ca-ca! Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think that could be really useful.
Yeah.
Until you inevitably... It'll
help me out, for sure.
Until you inevitably get it bit, because you were 100% going to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Well, what about you, Chris?
Well, oh, shit, I just had it. Where'd it go? It's in lost in the brain somewhere. Oh, my God.
Dude, are you insane in the brain?
Oh, yeah, I know what it is. I was watching the Oscars, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And now, I couldn't 100% tell if this was what was happening, but both Jamie and I pretty sure that this was what was happening. I think Armie Hammer was launching hot dogs into that crowd when they went into the theater.
They had hot dog cannons. That was a thing.
So,
he was also very high. You could tell he was very high when he was on stage for the announcement.
Um, 100% have a hot dog cannon.
That's pretty awesome, because You can launch all sorts of things in that thing. Right? It doesn't necessarily have to be hot dogs.
And I
put baseballs in there.
Well, I don't know. I feel like if I did launch hot dogs, it would distract them. They'd maybe start eating it. Like, thinking, like, oh, you know, is this me? Is it alive? Like,
that's a question we're all asking, Chris. Is hot dogs meat? I don't know.
The sad part is the zombies would probably be like, this is disgusting.
But I'll eat it.
Can I get that back, please?
I'll be like, fuck you. That's a fucking Dodger dog. That's a foot long a dog. I want that.
No.
It cost me 14 bucks.
No, I would load up as much spicy mustard as possible on this thing. Cause
oh, yeah. Try to get in their eyes.
Get it in their eyes. Just like, ah.
Well, what you would do is you'd launch them, and maybe they'd be really excited, be like, oh, food, hot dogs, and they open it up and fucking relish just all over it. They're like, no!
How many relish emails are we going to get now?
Relish is great. You're the one that's the wrong. No, relish is gross. Fuck you. Just kidding. I know a lot of people like relish. I just don't like it.
You know what is good on a brat is sour cream.
Really?
Oh, no,
I like a grilled onion or a chopped onion.
I misspoke. I even took the time to think about it. I still said the wrong cream cheese.
I was going to say, what the fuck? No. Sour cream? Cream cheese.
We had that at like a Super Bowl party once on a brat because like that's the like Seattle way to do it or something. And Seattle is in. Cheese. And it's delicious.
Cream cheese.
Of course,
my girlfriend loves a cream cheese. Let me tell you, cream cheese is good.
It's because cream cheese is the best. That's why.
It is really good. Right. I was going to say, sour cream, I could see that, too. Maybe make like a nacho dog, but not on like a brat.
Shit.
Now we're just fucking talking about food. This is turning into the Brothers Geek.
Really fucking hungry all of a sudden.
Me too, yeah. Well, I haven't eaten dinner yet, Chris.
Well, I ate something. Yeah, I haven't had dinner either, so I'm 2 hours ahead.
Lunch. I showed you the mustard I spilt on my shirt from lunch earlier.
Have you been licking that mustard to get sustenance?
Please.
Please, sir. May I have some more? Just squirts mustard on you.
Ah.
Ugh.
Oh, you didn't shake it beforehand. Oh, just got the.
No matter what.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know. I was just going to keep going.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Well. If you have a weapon of the week,
do we
and
not
you
have
want
any,
to chime in.
We don't have any emails this
we
week.
We don't. We don't this week.
Come on.
If you want to chime in with your weapon of the week, well, it's still a short period of time, technically, between this episode and when the last episode was released. If you want to chime in with your weapon of the week, make sure you go to theportport.com. That's theport, P-O-R-T-E. PORT.com. You can find all of our social media there. If you like us on Facebook already, I was just informed we still have the old website up, so the new website is up on the Facebook now too.
Nice.
So you can follow that link and let us know on any sort of social media or email or what have you, or text us if you know our number or whatever. I don't care how it happens, just do it. what your weapon of the week is, and let us know so we can talk about it next week. And I think that's probably our super geek of the week.
I think it is our super geek of the week.
It's super freaky. Geeky.
How much mustard do I have?
Not enough. Oh my god, I want sour cream.
Ooh. Or cream cheese. Not both. Never both.
Bagels. Never cross streams.
Oh.
Bye.